Hallelujah. The King is worthy of our praise. We can never praise Him enough for His goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a great spirit in this house this morning. God has something in store for somebody. Amen. Open up your hearts and your minds to what God has to say. And I believe that God's going to do a work. Amen. He's going to do something mighty. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22. And then we'll be reading out of Ephesians chapter 5 after that. Second Kings 22, verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he, this is Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father. Now, when it says David his father, David was not his immediate father. He was of the lineage, as they go forward and try to track down the lineage, they use a great name in their lineage. David was probably 100-something years before him. But David was his father in the lineage, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He did what God asked him to do. Josiah walked in what the Lord had declared to do. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. Somebody say filled. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The times are evil. We have to be aware of where we're at, what time we're in. Amen. God is ready to do a work in somebody's heart this morning. Amen. If you will open up your heart to what God says to you. Amen. Just for a few moments, I'd like to preach on this subject. Heaven's window. Amen. I asked Pastor if he would pray for this service right now. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Lord, we love you today. Thank you for what we feel in your presence, God. Thank you, Lord, for the power and the authority that only comes when we say the
hallelujah,
name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God, we pray that you would reach down and touch every heart that's here today, every
yes,
man, every
Lord.
Woman, every child, God.
Yes, Lord.
Fill our hearts with your Spirit today. Let us leave changed. Let us leave transformed. Let us leave renewed by the power of the Holy
yes.
Ghost today. Touch each and every life today. Anoint Brother Dwayne as he
hallelujah.
Preaches the word
hallelujah.
That you have placed in his heart. And
yes,
everybody said, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Today.
Clap your hands unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We have an advantage today. A great advantage that a lot of people didn't have in the early days. We know what happens from Genesis to Revelation. We're able to pick up the Word of God, and we're able to read what happened in the Old Testament. We're able to read what happened to the kings, what happened to the judges, what happened to the prophets of God. And we're able to see what Jesus Christ came and did for us, and He died for us on a cross. We have that advantage. The disciples that walked with God, they walked daily 3.5 years with Jesus Christ. Rarely did they understand the things that Jesus was speaking to them. He spoke in parables. And a lot of times you could tell the way he said things was, I know you don't comprehend, but you will. But you will. Amen. We know that Peter didn't understand. He thought he was strong in God. He thought he had everything inside. God, I'm gonna fight for you. I'm gonna do whatever I can for you. I will never deny you. But he did. The Bible says when he did the third time, Jesus turned and looked at him. What a feeling that must have been to go through this. But we know later on, because we know the book, we know later on that Peter was able to move on from that situation, and he held the keys to the kingdom, and on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and he preached the word of God, and thousands were added to the church, and the Holy Ghost was poured out. Hallelujah. There's no teacher like experience. As a teenager, my father could tell me how to change the water pump on my car that was broken down. But until he dragged me out, and I do mean dragged me out, and showed me and said, this is how you take it apart. That's how I learned to change a water pump. It was through some experience that I had to go through. There's nothing like experience that gives us an understanding what it's like to go through something and then look back and have a clear vision and see every detail from the beginning to the end. And we have that today. That's called the Word of God. We have that today. Amen. I know somebody says it's old-fashioned. It's old times. It doesn't apply to me today. But I'm telling you, what is written in this word still happens today. Amen. The God of yesterday is the God of today. He still heals the blinded eye. He still raises the captive. He's still the God of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and today. He will take your life and turn it upside down. And the power of the Holy Spirit begins to make you new and alive. There's nothing like the power of God in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I proclaim to you this morning, there's nothing like the power of God moving in your life. David said in Psalm 37 and 25, I have been young and now I'm old, but I have never, never, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God and he changes not. He is God, and he changes not. Somebody shout, God, you are good. Hallelujah. I researched. I began to look into the life expectancy of today. I was shocked. I was shocked to find out that the average is 78 years and 7 months, which is down from a couple years ago when it was 80 years and 3 months. Now, I don't know about you, but that shocked me. I thought, man, with all the medical advances that we have in medical science, with all the safety precautions that we have today, gotta wear a seatbelt, and I don't, except, you know, when the cop passes by, you hurry up and throw it over your shoulder. Don't act like I'm the only one. You look in the mirror, toss it back. Parents wrap their kids in bubble wrap and put a helmet on them. That's today. All these safety precautions. We have smoke alarms in our homes. We have carbon dioxide alarms. We have so many things, so many safety precautions. They build cars, and I know this sounds crazy, but they're way safer than any other car that we've ever driven. There's so much safety in today. How in the world are we going down? And I've seen the alarming rates of depression, suicide, addictions. They said the number one cause for all issues is stress. Stress. Whatever it's from. There's so many avenues, so many different areas of stress that attacks us today. And I think about all the safety measures and all the great things that medical science can do. And I began to see that drop. And I say the fact is, no matter what they tell us, no matter what, how it changes, how it goes up or comes down, whatever it is, time on this earth is limited. Time, it is the one thing that you cannot replace. You cannot buy time. You cannot wish time. You cannot have time because you want it. You can, honey, you can bathe in essential oils every day. Put on oil of Olay. It's not going to matter. You're going to get old. Your hair's going to turn gray. It's time. And the morning that you've had so far this morning, you can't take it back. What you've experienced already, you can't have back. What's done is done. I came to give you a word this morning, and that word is only what you do for Christ is going to last. And I know we have duties on this earth. And there's jobs and there's schools and family things and things we have to take care of. But in the end, everything fades away. And only what you do for the kingdom of God is going to last to eternity. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. In our text, we read in 2 Kings about this young man named Josiah. 8 years old. Can you imagine? 8 years old. I've been eight. And I wasn't ready to rule a kingdom. I've had five kids. None of them were ready to rule a kingdom. But I read in 2 Kings and all throughout the Old Testament, you hear about the kings that had become a king of Jerusalem, of Judah, and they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Everything they did. And then you read about somebody that came up and they did everything right in the sight of the Lord. It was a constant change back and forth. Many of them, most of them, had no regard for the Lord, no regard for His word. Most of them never even knew anything about God. He's just in the background. They lived a lavish lifestyle as a king with all the money and gold and jewels. But this King Josiah was an amazing young man. 8 years old, he becomes the king of Judah. His father Amon before him, the man was an evil man. The Bible says he was so evil that the officials that he had appointed, at some point, executed him in his own castle and appointed an 8-year-old boy, an 8-year-old ice cream eating, PlayStation playing boy that had no clue about what to do inside of a kingdom. They were willing to place this at his feet. The Bible says he reigned for 31 years and he died at 39 years old. The Bible says a Pharaoh came up from Egypt, came up the Euphrates River and attacked him, and he led out the armies to fight against the enemies of God. And in the valley of Megiddo, the same valley where the Battle of Armageddon shall take place, there Josiah took his last breath and he died. And his time on earth was just a quick moment. But it was such a difference that thousands of years later, I stand here today to talk about this young man, Josiah. And I'm sure there's plenty of 8-year-olds that have potential. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's lots that could probably start something, but it took Josiah 18 years before he began to learn and understand how to get everything together in the kingdom. 18 years, he established himself and began to get understanding of the kingdom. The Bible says, finally, he started to find out things about God. And he saw the temple that had been wrecked, that had been destroyed. And he said, we got to do something different. So he had the doors and the hinges fixed and the doors put back upon the temple. He found the scrolls that were laying there covered in dust, and he had them cleaned and they presented them correctly. And the Bible says as they were cleaning, they uncovered the book of the law. You know what that tells me? That no one had paid attention to where God's word was. God's word remained buried in some rubble inside this old temple. The Bible says that as they got this book and they opened it and they began to read from it, Josiah, the Bible says, ripped his royal robe in honor of his holy God, and he began to pray unto God. God, I need you. God, I need you in my life. The Bible says, in anger, Josiah went forth throughout the land, smashing idols made of gold and wood and stone. He took Asherah temples or poles that were made for Baal, and he ground them up into powder. He dug up priests that were long dead, and he dug up their bones because they were evil, and he crushed them, and he smashed them, and he threw them all along the countryside. I like this guy. He took all of their tombstone and he crushed them into pieces. You know why? He said, I want nothing remnant of the evil of this world. I want everything from the book of God in my life. Hallelujah. In this moment, he still only had approximately 10 years left on his life. He didn't have a clue, but his window was closing. In his small window of time, he made a difference in the lives of the people of Jerusalem. They remember today his righteous acts of what Josiah did, and I'm here to tell you this morning, only what you do for God is going to last in your life. He calls for us to live a life of integrity, a life of fullness, but of desperation. In all that great understanding, there was no promise that Josiah would continue to live for many years. He died young. No one here is promised time. Nobody is promised tomorrow. Heaven gives you a window. God gives you a window. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have forever. King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. He said, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation comes, but the earth abideth forever." All that Solomon had gained, all the riches, all the knowledge, everything that he had, the gold, the silver, all the possessions, in the end, Solomon stood there and said, "Nothing is worth anything except for what you do for the kingdom." All of what Solomon built now lays in rubble. Non-existent in a faraway land. Going to be built here sometime soon in Jesus' name. But James wrote in his book in chapter 4, he said, "Why say you where you're going to go tomorrow? Where you're going to go next month? Where you're going to go next year? For what is your life? It is a vapor. It is here today and gone tomorrow. It is a vapor. It's fast. It's a quick moment. The clock doesn't care about your intentions. Winter, spring, summer, and fall, it's all going to come. And it doesn't matter what you want to stay longer. It's just going to move on to the next thing. Only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last." Luke chapter 12, in a parable about a man that Jesus talks about, that built barns to store all of his things, possessions and earthly desires, with no thought of where he was going to spend eternity. God said in verse 20, "Thou fool! Thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be that thou hast provided?" Build your barns. Take all your possessions. Take everything that you got and store it up. But none of it matters. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't already know this, when you die, your kids are going to take a few things, sell a few things, and then pull up a dumpster and throw all your cherished things in the trash can. I've seen it. I know that sounds terrible, but it's true. Things that you hold on to so dear. "This is the most beautiful thing in my house." It's beautiful to you. But at some point, it's probably going to sit on a trash heap somewhere. Only what you do for Christ is going to last, and everything else in your life is going to fade away to nothing. All the vacations, all the cars, the homes, the degrees that hang on the wall, the stuff and the things that you think are so important and there's so much worth in these things, they're all going to fade away. And your window is closing with every breath you take and every second that goes by. Your window keeps closing. Hear me this morning. You don't have time to stop. You don't have time to quit. You don't have time to be offended inside of the house of God. You know why? Because once the devil finds out that you stop because you're offended, he's going to send somebody to offend you every single time you walk in the house of God. It's not time to stop for a minute. It's not time to step back away from the kingdom. Your window is closing, and only what you do for Christ is going to last. Hallelujah. When you're offended, you stop worshiping. When you're offended, you stop clapping. When you're offended, you stop living holy. When you're offended, you stop coming to church. We don't have time to stop. I've seen people, I'm just going to take a little bit away, a little bit of time away from the church. I just got to step back. And 5 years goes by and 10 years go by. Then all of a sudden, they're laying in a casket right here in front of the pulpit. And you think, where did time go? They never made it back. Don't listen to this world that says it's not worth living for. Don't listen to this world that says there's no God. Says there is a God. Somebody hold up your Bible. It says there is a God. There is a God in heaven. God, I hold this word so close to my heart. There is a God in heaven. All the heavens declare there is a God. The makeup of the human body says there's a God. The complex makeup what an eyeball is says there's a God. The galaxy declares there is a God. When you start going through something, all you have to do is open up the word. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. Before you go to the hospital, you declare, in the beginning, God. Before you buy a house, in the beginning, God. Before you go through that situation, in the beginning, God. When you don't know when that bill's going to be paid for, in the beginning, God. God holds everything in his hands. Everything in your life starts and ends with the Almighty God. And I tell you this morning, I've got to be saved. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow morning. You're not guaranteed this afternoon. I have pictures, much like you. Pictures of times past. Pictures that I can pick up and I can look at. This picture is just a moment frozen in time. And I can see on those special pictures, Pastor, that, man, I can remember every second of that picture. Man, I remember where I was, what we were doing. Just that moment. And sometimes, because of what time has transpired and what has transpired in our lives, that picture can no longer happen. I remember, allow me to be carnal for a second. I have a picture that's dear to me, many actually, but there's one that I have of me and three of my cousins in West Virginia. One summer, we all sat on a couch and took a picture, and you see in that picture, we're all holding up four fingers. We weren't gang symbols. We were hillbillies and wrestling fans. That was the four horsemen. And this special day, we had decided that we were going to do something really cool. It was dumb. And we sat on the couch, and my father, remember we're 15, 16, 17. My father and his brother in their prime, they were rough. And we decided we're going to jump them in my aunt's living room. And it sounded like a good idea, Benny. And we had so many ideas. So we all got together. We got a plan. They weren't expecting it. I said, I talked to my cousin. I said, I'm going to grab your dad around the legs and I'm going to take him down fast. And you jump on his shoulders. I did. And the other two jumped my dad. And I did. I wrapped him up and took him down. And I was feeling good about myself for just a second. What we thought was a wrestling match, I thought I was Ric Flair. He started to kick me in the face so hard. Brother Troy, it was like the cartoons where the birds are circling. Stars were just, he was in a fight. We brought a knife to a gunfight. It wasn't working. And he started to kick me so hard in the face. And I couldn't hold on. And my other cousin is holding on. And he's yelling at me, don't let go. And I said, I can't see. It hurts so bad. I immediately regretted the decision. And later we took the photo like we were tough. We got whooped. It was a whooping. And I look back at that precious picture. And my one cousin in that picture, I'm going to try to hold it together. A few years later, he was just a few years from leaving this life. And we didn't know it. And I look at that picture, and as time has gone by, 5 years to 10 years to 20 to 30 years, I look at that picture every time, and I do enjoy the moment, and it was fun and it was funny, but I think to myself, man, he had no clue there was just a couple years left. Murdered at 18, never had a chance. I watched my great-grandfather in the hospital with Alzheimer's, being ornery, old, didn't know where he was, beating up the nurses. They were trying to talk to him. He was talking about getting the horses all rigged up so we could ride into town. His mind had taken him back to when he was very young. And that image has never left me. It still impacts me today. And I began to think as the Lord was giving me this message. I began to think how we think that we've got so much time. But in a moment, just like that, it can all leave. In a moment, your mind can be changed. You think, I've got all this time, I got to live my life full. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Psalms 90 and 12, I'm almost done. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'm going to read that again. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your day, because right now matters. Today matters. This service matters. Jesus, he stands at the door. And he's knocking. But that's only going to go on for a certain amount of time. And the knocking stops. That window is closing. Time is ticking as the music comes. And only what you do for Christ is going to last. Today could be your last day. I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm not trying to put stress on anybody's life, but it's important in the kingdom to understand what we think we have, we don't always have. We only have a certain amount of time inside of this church. And there's coming a day when age won't let you leap for joy. There's coming a day where you can no longer jump up and down and shout the way you used to shout. There's coming a day where you're lucky to stand. There's coming a day where running around the church, it just will be lucky to march. And marching's good. You're not, forgive me, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but Brother John, I pray for you. I pray that God is going to heal your body. I believe it in Jesus' name, and I declare it in front of everybody. I declare it in Jesus' name. And when he runs again, I'm going to run with him. He doesn't know this, but my mom could vouch for this. Down on Mulberry and Russell, as just a little kid, I used to watch him worship. He didn't care. He didn't care what you thought about his worship. He was demonstrative in his worship. And I know inside he's still doing it. And if the Lord heals him, he's going to do it again. I ran around the church as a little boy. You know why? Because Brother John did it. I wiped out a few times. Slick church shoes on the carpet. I don't know how he rounded them corners so fast. I say to you this morning, worship while you can worship. Dance while you can dance. Jump while you can dance. Shout while you can shout. Give praise unto the King while you have the time to give it to him. Because he's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor. Because your window is closing. As we all stand, Romans 8 and 18, Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What you're going through on this earth, when you get to glory, it's gonna be worth it all. The pain, the suffering. God, it's so good to be in your presence. The pain, the trials. It doesn't even come close to what the glory of God is going to be in my life. None of this suffering is going to matter to what heaven is going to be like. When we don't have no more pain, there's no more death, there's no more sorrow. We take a crown and we lay it at the feet of the Master. And we sing glory to the King. For thousands upon thousands of tens of thousands of years. Glory to the King. But I tell you this morning, you have a window. Don't waste it. Don't miss a chance to praise Him. Don't miss a chance to give your life to God. This service is as important as anything you've ever been in your entire life, because you're not promised tomorrow. I tell you, with every head bowed right now, in Jesus' name, If you've not asked God to forgive you of your sins and baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, now is an opportunity. No one is going to judge you. We've all stood in your shoes. No one is judging your life. But you see, it doesn't really matter, because the only things that you do for Christ is going to last into eternity. And only if your sins are forgiven and you are saved is the only way you're going to heaven. We're going to open up this altar. And if you want to come forward, we're going to believe in Jesus' name. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Fill you with the Holy Spirit. And we've got water for you to be baptized. Because there's nothing that matters more than salvation. Above all else, I gotta be saved. Above anything, God, I gotta be saved. God is speaking to your heart this morning. Amen. Would you come? Don't miss a chance to worship Him. Don't miss a chance to give Him praise. And don't miss a chance to get right with God. Amen. Would you come this morning? Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. God, I need your presence. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.